The grown-ups in here on a Sunday morning, we've been thinking about John's Gospel, just the very beginning of it. And we're going to think about just one more verse this morning. And I think Charlotte is going to come up and read it for us, aren't you, Charlotte? Or I could come to you.
God became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Brilliant. Thank you, Charlotte. So well read. Thank you. We're going to think a little bit about that verse that John wrote for us. But first, here's a quick question. Has anybody opened a present already this morning? Hands up, have you opened a present already this morning? I'm going to hear about these. What have you opened this morning? Sounds interesting. Any more?
Cricket bat.
Cricket bat. Brilliant. More stuff. We have some other hands, didn't we, over here? Cricket bat and stuff. I'd be interested to hear more about the stuff. I know what you, had. Right. Oh, there's some hands over here. Come back to you, Ryan. Okay, here we go. Is Ellie. Oh, and one down there.
A dressing table.
A dressing table. Very sophisticated. Over here.
Alexa.
Alexa. Okay, well, we won't go there. Is she here? She's not here. Alexa? Hello? Switch off. Okay, oh, present over here. What have you opened already this morning?
A pogo stick.
Pogo stick? Oh, you should have brought that. You should have come in on that. That would have been amazing. Maybe Charlotte could have done the reading on that. Is anybody hoping for something? Has not opened it yet. Anybody's hoping for something? No, you don't want to say, do you? Oh, that could be a lot of pressure on the mums and dads, isn't it? Okay, let's just leave it there. We don't want to cause any upsets. So, great, some of you have opened presents this morning. What we're going to think about very quickly this morning is that God's best present on that first Christmas day, God's best present that he can give us is himself. That is what that verse means that we've just read, that the Word became flesh. It's his being present in the world. That's God's best present to us. Now, John wants us to know how incredible that is. So he uses a kind of code name. So we're talking about Jesus, we know that. But he uses a kind of code name called the Word. And he uses that name so that we can think about this person before he was given the name Jesus at his birth. And John tells us earlier on that he says things like this, that the Word was with God and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and he says, even more than that, he says all things were created through him. So the Word was God, and he made all things. Now, John wants us to get our heads around how massive this idea is. Maybe we're a bit used to it at Christmas. Maybe we're not used to it, and we need to think about it some more. Well, John wants us to think about how incredible that is, and we're going to try and do that now. So think about that. Think about how big the universe is. It's massive. It's huge. But the Word, God, made it, and he is beyond it. Now, we're going to watch a little video, hopefully. Now, watch this. This is going to show us the universe. Keep an eye at the bottom for the distance. There, we're moving away now. 1 meter, 10 meters. Can you see that? And we're moving further and further out. This is to give us an idea of how small we are and how amazingly huge the universe is. Look, we're at 10 kilometers now, and we're still going 100 kilometers. We're sort of leaving 1,000 kilometers. We'll see the image that we know in a minute, the Earth. There's the Earth. There's planet Earth. 10,000 kilometers out, 100,000 kilometers out. We're still going. We're still going. Look, we're still in our solar system. We've not left the solar system yet. We're at 10 million, 100 million kilometers. Okay, this is just about our solar system. 1 billion kilometers. Now, soon the measurement's going to change because it's so big, we've got to measure it in light years. Keep an eye on this. 1 trillion kilometers. There's the sun. 1 light year. There we go. And it's still going. We're still going out and out and out. Keep watching. We're 10,000 light years out. And we've just left our galaxy. And then I think we're going to see some other galaxies. Look at them. There's hundreds and thousands of galaxies, 10 million light years away. There's a local supercluster. We're still going 1 billion light years. These are all the things that we've discovered from looking out in space. And then all the way back down. Let's watch it go all the way back down. Now just think about that. Get your head around this universe. How huge it is. How complex it is. So we can go big, and now we can zoom in and go smaller and smaller and smaller. There's some white blood cells. We're going smaller and smaller and smaller. This is going right down. Now, think about what John's saying. The Word made all that you have just seen. And not only that, that God is beyond it all as well. He's way past it and outside of it. And then John says that Word became flesh. So what he says happened is this. In the next slide, that work? So look, there's a very simple way of looking at it. God, everything else. That is reality. And then this happened. This is what John's saying. Look at this. That God who made everything became flesh and blood. Let me just read you a little fact. The development of the human brain begins in the fetal stage with the neural tube formed in the first month of the embryo's growth. The neural tube closes around week 6 or 7, at which point the brain will then separate into 3 parts. Once the neural tube closes around week 7, the brain will grow at a rate of 250,000 neurons per minute for the next 21 weeks. God became flesh and blood, just like that. The Word, Jesus, took on a nature just like ours, that was made with all those neurons in all that time, just like ours. And John's saying that he's done that so that we can now know God. We're not guessing anymore, because we can't get out of that circle, but God can break into it. That the Word became flesh, and if you like, he sort of pitched his tent among us, just like in the Old Testament where God's presence was in the tabernacle. Now God's presence is with us in Jesus, so that we can know him. And John says in his gospel that knowing him is eternal life. Isn't that amazing? That God would do that. Now, one of you younger people can help me. Quick question for you. We're going to think a little bit more about why God would do this. But first of all, what do you have to be? What do you have to do to be a hero? Any ideas? What do you have to do to be a hero? Anyone want to? Ryan, what do you have to do to be a hero?
To save people, be a savior.
To save people, be a savior. You can't quite top that answer, can you? Except maybe score a hat-trick in a World Cup final or something like that. That's right. To be a hero, you've got to save people. Now, some of you guys that live local will recognize, hopefully, this next photo. Do we have the photo up there, Phil? Look, have you seen these little guys? Have you seen the little co-op, little whatever you call them, little robot guys? And they're delivering food. A couple of weeks ago, I thought they should have been repurposed to grit the pavements. But they weren't. They were just delivering food. Now, look, I came across this article in the Cambridge Independent online, okay? And look, it's confused delivery robot is saved by Cherry Hinton hero Steve. Not my words, the words of the Cambridge Independent. Now, does anyone know Steve from Cherry Hinton? No? He's a hero. Let me read you some of this. When Steve Sinclair saw the robot stuck on the side of the path in Cherry Hinton, he knew he had to get involved. Quote, I saw it fall down a sunken path and I was walking towards it. Steve says of the incident this week, it isn't obvious where the footpath ends and the pathway to the house begins. I imagine the robot is not the first to make a mistake and fall down it. Only someone with a cold, cold heart could leave it lying there. True. Surprisingly, it wasn't all that heavy and it only took a few seconds to pick it up. It sat a little confused for a moment. I waited to see if it would reverse back into trouble, but it trundled off, and my good deed for the day was done. Later, Steve was fairly modest about being cast as a saviour. Steve writes this. Drama in Cherry Hinton this afternoon. I saved one of the little robot guys from certain death and destruction. He added, not all heroes wear capes. So there you go. Yeah, so being a hero is rescue, isn't it? And this word becoming flesh was God's rescue mission. Do you remember in the reading that John says, we have seen the glory of the one and only. If you were to carry on reading John's gospel, you'd see that what John means is the glory of God is seen in one place particularly, at the cross. That is where God's glory is seen. As Jesus is dying on a cross, that's where we see the glory, and that's why the Word became flesh. Now, that's confusing to some people. I read an article this week, a Christmas article, where the journalist said that apart from the baby in the manger imagery, she finds the rest of Christian belief loathsome. And she says, why wear the symbol of barbaric torture? Martyrdom is a repugnant virtue. Confusing, isn't it, to some people? Why would you do that? But Jesus dying and rising was the rescue. So he dies for his people to take the consequences of their wrongdoing. So he takes that on the cross instead of us. And that's why he had to become flesh. Because God being God, God can't die, can he? Because he's God. So how does God die for us? Well, he takes on, God the Son, divine, takes on flesh and blood so that he can die. Now, a preacher friend of mine tells a little story to help us understand this, and so I'm borrowing his story. I want you to imagine there's a young lad, and he's at secondary school, and he's been messing about, and he's got a detention. I'm not going to ask the question. Have you had detention? Okay, I won't ask that. He's got a detention at school. And he thinks to himself, I'm going to get out of detention. So he says to the teacher, please, miss, if I could find someone to do my detention for me, can that make that arrangement, swap them in instead? And the teacher says, well, I suppose so. I doubt you'll find anyone. So the kid's very pleased, and he says, look, can my friend Jack will do it. Can my friend Jack take the detention instead of me? And the teacher says, no, of course Jack can't take the detention. He's got his own detention. He was the one messing around with you. He can't take your detention. He's got his own detention. You need to find someone who's not been in trouble. So the little boy has a think, and he says, ah, I've got it. Miss, yes, can Squiggs do my detention? Squiggs, who's Squiggs? Ah, Squiggs is my hamster. Can I bring him in? No. That's not a good swap, is it? It's got to be like for like. And so that is why the Word takes on flesh. That's the rescue mission. He had to do that so that he could take our place for the consequences of our wrongdoing that we will face after we die. Now, just like Steve, do you remember Steve from Cherry Hinton? Oh, I couldn't just leave it there. Only someone with a cold, cold heart. Well, that's the heart of God, isn't it? He looks down on the world that he's made. He can't just leave us there. He's not going to just leave us there. John says, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son into the world that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. What an offer. Eternal life and peace with God for anyone who trusts in that death of Jesus. Now, who here has not wanted and thought maybe once or twice in their life, do you know what? I wish I could start again. You ever thought that? I wish I could start again. I wish I could get rid of stuff. I wish I could be a new person. I wish there could be a new life. What do we do with shame and guilt? How can we be at peace with God? And even if we didn't think about those things, how are we going to get through death itself? Is that really the end? John says no, because the Word became flesh, that we might have eternal life. So that's what we're celebrating at Christmas. That is what Jesus has come to do. Jesus has not come to save us from the cost of living. He's come to save us from the cost of dying. And so we see God's glory in that rescue. Isn't that amazing? And so it turns out that Steve from Cherry Hinton was right. Not all heroes wear capes. Sometimes
They wear nothing more than swaddling cloth as they lie in a manger. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that the Word became flesh. Help us to understand and love Jesus more today and in the days and weeks and years to follow. Amen.